Today on Sports Card Investor, an absolutely awesome episode with MLB pitcher Pat Neshek, and a look at the crazy cards he pulled during a live break that he did with me during the virtual Sports Card Con. My name is Jeff Wilson. By day, I invest in tech companies, and at night, I invest in sports cards. Join me on my journey to profit from the hobby we all love. Hello, sports card investors, and welcome to another episode. Man, I am sitting back and just thinking about what a couple of weeks it has been for the sports card hobby, with sports on TV and cards going crazy. It is so fun to watch. And I am also thinking about how fortunate we have been at Sports Card Investor to have put on such a great virtual sports card con and have so many guests and dealers that participated in that last week. It was a true honor. And as I think back on the virtual sports card con, one of the absolute greatest moments, one of my favorite parts of the entire five-day event was when MLB pitcher Pat Neshek came on the show to tell us his story about card collecting while he was an MLB player and getting players from the other teams to autograph cards while he was playing against them. It's an awesome story, and I'm going to share it again with you here today because it is really, really cool. And I want to thank eBay first and foremost for helping line up Pat Neshek to come on the show. And eBay also donated a ton of boxes during the virtual sports card con that we were able to break and give away for free to people watching, including a box of Diamond Icons, which Pat broke live, which we pulled some incredible cards from. I'm going to show you a recap of that as well right after my interview with Pat. So without further ado, let's bring Pat Neshek into the show and check out this awesome interview.
Pat, welcome to Sports Card Investor and the virtual Sports Card Con.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you on the show. It's a lot of fun. You've had quite the baseball career. I know a long career, a lot of different teams, a lot of different experiences, a unorthodox style of pitching, which really served well for you. I know it's hard to sum up in one question, but what might be your favorite single memory from all of the years you were in the MLB?
Oh man, that's, you know, you got the, like the debut where you like, it's kind of like a real realization of a dream. That's gotta be right up there. The World Baseball Classic was pretty awesome. And then the All-Star Games, I mean, that's just like the top of the world. Also playing on a lot of playoff teams. I mean, it's really hard to, you know, you kind of go on a journey where, you know, you get drafted and you're like, hey, am I even worthy of playing rookie ball right now? You know, you get to A ball, am I even worthy to be here? And you kind of just take it day by day and see what it becomes. And it's just been so cool to, you know, to make it up to the big leagues and then to get that honor to be an All-Star. So,
yeah. And now you got to do that twice. Right.
Yeah.
2014 and 2017, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool way back in the day in 2007. You know, I think I would have made it back then if they would have the same amount of positions. They added a lot since then, and I think they took them away last year finally. But in 07, they had this vote for the final five, and I was on there. I lost out to Okajima on the Red Sox, and I think I got second or third. But that was a really fun campaign. And then, you know, I had Tommy John, and you think it's all done, and to come back and make them then was pretty awesome.
Yeah, not only come back, but then you played almost, I think, another 10 years after Tommy John, which is you don't see that often anymore.
Yeah, you know, once with baseball, a lot of times when you get to 30 years old, you're old in the game. They write you off. I knew when I broke in, it was really fun. I wouldn't say easy, but I did really well in 06 and 07. And I knew with my arm angle, if I could get that velocity back to 90 miles an hour, I knew what I had, and I knew it would be tough to hit. So it was kind of more like staying with it. It's really hard when you're in AAA and you know, you're eating the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, riding the bus, to really keep that dream alive. But yeah, it's just been one heck of a journey.
And in addition to having that awesome baseball career that which spanned across a whole bunch of teams, I also understand you're a really big card collector. And I wanted to thank eBay for bringing us together today about that journey. But tell me a little bit more about your baseball card collecting and how that came about.
Yeah, it's really cool to partner up with eBay. They came to me right around the pandemic, and that's kind of when, you know, sports card, if you checked eBay auctions or sales prices back then, everything just doubled and tripled here in the last, with everybody being home, they're cleaning out their closets, and that went wild. So it was really cool to partner with eBay. That's one of those, I get asked for interviews a pretty good amount of time, and this one I was like, we got to do this. This is something I've been doing for, since my college days, was selling on eBay. That's how I, got pizza for, free for my freshman and sophomore years in college. So,
You were flipping baseball cards back in.
So back then, one of my buddies, my roommate, actually, he sold a lot of like college autographs. Like he'd go to Ohio State to get the basketball team. He'd go try to find Duke. And this was before a lot of people got in on that market. So he invited me one weekend, and I'm from Minnesota. So we got the Twins, we got the big sports teams, but we don't have the minor league. We don't really have, we have the Gophers, but it's really hard to get autographs up there. So he invited me, and here we're at a team hotel, and man, we're knocking out the whole team. I'm like, this is kind of fun. I'm like, what are you doing next week? And so he invited me back, and eventually it led to, I went to school in Butler in Indianapolis, and they had a AAA team, the Indians. And so I would buy card sets of just minors, team best off eBay. And we would go and get them. And then you'd look on eBay for the team that was coming in next. And here were, I think I had like one time 50 Alfonso Soriano cards signed by him after a game. I didn't really know much. I mean, it was kind of rude to hand him 50 cards, but he did them all. And I was kind of hooked back then to just keep getting guys. And so that's kind of how I got back into like, with eBay, and how I got back into card collecting. And I was really big. Any kid in the 80s was pretty big, with Garbage Pail Kid cards, and then the baseball stuff blew up in 86, 87, 88. But I kind of lost touch with it in 93, 94 as you go through junior high and high school. So it was really cool to find another person that kind of, knew the card market back then, knew autographs, and got me back in. And then, after that, I was hooked on.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a really cool story. Now, during your MLB career, I understand that you sometimes would bring some cards, maybe have some other players autograph them. How did this kind of weave into when you were actually playing in the majors?
Yeah, so back in the day, I think it was 2003, I started like a blog, and it was kind of like me following me in like A-ball, like what I did that day. It was kind of skewed towards collectors, though, where you would write about like what autograph people you saw after the game, how many cards I signed. And I kept that going in 04, 05. And then I got up to the big leagues. So that was really cool to be able to have that interaction with the fans. I could trade stuff. I got up, I'd send over for like guys I thought would be in the Hall of Fame. But I just basically did baseballs. And in 2008, I ended up tearing my elbow. And so I had to get Tommy John, and I sat around and I looked at my collection. I said, I have so much this weird stuff in this collection. And, I'd get on eBay. I would sell some of the stuff that didn't make sense. I would keep a lot of the stuff. And I said to myself, I want to build something that's really cool. And one of the things that came up was I really was kind of mad at myself that I didn't really take advantage of being a big leaguer. And I kind of just felt, I missed out that I could have got a lot more autographs. So I said, if I ever make it back, I want to send over some Topps card sets and try to get these sets done. That was kind of a passion where you would start something not knowing, it was kind of a journey. You didn't think you were going to finish it, but it was cool to know how each guy's signing habits were. But I had really good access. So I was able to send over with the clubbies to, pretty much everybody on the team. And I think today I'm only like 5-10 cards short on like the 13, 14, 15 top sets. So
getting everybody to autograph them.
Yeah, yeah, for the most part.
Those sets have hundreds and hundreds of cards. So you literally have an autographed card of almost every single card those years. Wow.
Yeah, they're really some of them, have like five guys on them. And it's like, how would somebody be able to get that finished? So I think that alone, it's a pretty rare set. I mean, I know a lot of guys that did sets like in the 80s were able to finish them. Guys were, back then were a lot cooler about signing and they had better access, but it's really hard. I think those are going to be some of the rarer sets as you go down the road. But I also relied, you know, you would find some guys that the toughest ones for me were finding guys that were like rookies that got released. They would go back to Dominican Republic. They'd go back to Venezuela. So I would have to rely on eBay or talking with people on Instagram to try to find these and piece these together. So that was kind of the fun of it all.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. I hope you get one of those sets to 100% because I'm sure that will be an absolute one of kind. You'll be the only person with it in the world. And that's certainly special, something special to hold on to.
Oh yeah. It's, I think I'm going to get them all graded by Beckett when that gets done.
So. There you go. There you go. What's your favorite autograph you've gotten? Which one were you most excited about actually getting?
There's some really cool ones. Some of my favorites were, there was a card, Aroldis Vizcaíno. It wasn't him on the card. It was a 2015 Topps. It was some guy, I think his name was Yoaner Negrin, and he was there as like a, they signed him as like a minor league contract, and they invited him over to the big league camp that day, and he pitched in the game, and somehow this pitcher got on Vizcaino's card, and Vizcaino wouldn't sign it. He said, I'll sign the back, but I won't sign the front. So I was able to get, you know, him to sign the back. Then I had a buddy on Instagram. He was able to track. He said this guy was playing in Mexico. And so I sent him the card, and sure enough, he got him to sign it. And I mean, just stuff like that. It's like that card's complete
now. So you got that card signed by the guy in the photo, plus the guy who's on the actual card. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Yeah. Another one that was really cool. There was a 1970 Topps card with Herman Hill, and he tragically passed away in 1970, drowned in Venezuela. There's another guy on the card, Paul Ratliff. Well, anyways, I searched eBay for years, and somehow this card came up. It passed Beckett. It was real. Herman Hill signed this card. And that alone is like, I think they said people have only seen like two or three of these that have been authentically signed by Herman Hill. So the other guy, Paul Radcliffe, he hasn't had any successes on Sport Collector Net or anything. So one of my buddies, Steve Grad, he's the head authenticator at Beckett, said, hey, I know where this guy lives. Let's go to his house, knock on his door, and see if he'll sign your card so you can finish it. We went out to Mr. Radcliffe's house. He answered the door. He was very accommodating. He let us in. He basically talked about how he just didn't like the state of baseball. That's kind of why, you know, it brings back bad memories. That's why he didn't want to sign. But he let us in his house for an hour. We talked. He signed the card, and it was really cool to just connect with an old ball player and finish that card. So those are a couple of my really cool cards that I like.
Those are awesome. That's an awesome, awesome story. Love it. Absolutely love it. So how about collecting your own cards? Did you
get
a collection of your own cards over the years?
Yeah, it's, you know, I've, it started, you know, Bowman. I never really got a Bowman card or Topps. A lot of those guys, before they had the rookie card logo, they wouldn't make, like, they made a lot of minor league cards, but I somehow never got one. I was never a prospect. I must have never impressed anybody to get one. So when I finally got up, Topps put me down as a box topper in the 2006 Topps update set. So the only way I could get myself was a box topper, and there was 50 different box toppers. So you'd pretty much have to break 4.5 cases to even have a chance at one of your cards. Yeah, so that was my first card. I had to solely rely on eBay because I'd have to rely on friends going to hobby shops. But I think I found 8 of them off eBay. Of the 25. I know there's one more out there. The guy's kind of holding it hostage. I think he wanted $500 and a couple jerseys. And I'm like, hey man, like, you know,
He knows it's you.
Yeah.
To buy it.
It's cool. Like the people you find, it's like, they're really cool. Like, hey, this is awesome. I'll send it to you for free. No, I'll just take my money. But a lot of them will like to like put it up for like $400 and see what you'll offer. So that it's kind of the hunt is, I'll always remember seeing those cards. I don't know if I'll get them. I do have a really large amount of my rare ones, the 101s. It's just cool to collect. I always loved collecting when I was 5-6 years old, and to see myself on a card and have a rare version. It's fun to chase.
That's awesome. Really, really cool. Do you have any family or good friends who collect with you on any of this?
My dad used to do it, but it kind of just got a little insane where like we were fighting over cards and he's like, just do it yourself. I'll give you every one of yours. And so I see him. It's really,
so your dad was buying your cards and then you were upset.
Yeah. We were probably all bidding each other.
Ones.
We weren't even talking.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it's one of those, but, no, it's more like I'll find people on eBay or like Instagram that'll be like, I player collect you, you know? And I'm like, well, I do too. So like, let me get the good ones. And you know, so I kind of made a rule. I said, if it's like numbered less than 10, I'm not going to sign it. Cause maybe we can work out a trade down the road, but everything else I'll sign. And so people have been really good though. It's been fun.
Cool. Awesome, Pat. Thank you. Just a couple more questions. So first of all, yeah. I'd love to know who is the scariest hitter that you ever faced during your career?
Oh man. Left-handed. I wouldn't say he was the scariest, but the guy just destroyed me. It was Raul Ibanez. I think he had like 2 walk-offs on me. Oh man. I could never strike out.
He wasn't stealing signs, was he?
I don't think so, man. He crushed me in Seattle and then he crushed me like 10 years later. When he was on the Yankees, right-handed, I think the toughest was Adrian Beltran. Like I always, you know, my thing was like, I always wanted to strike people out and I tried so hard. I think I faced the guy like 15 to 20 times and he always found a way to make contact. He was just a very like, I don't know what it was. I would always get 2 strikes on him and he would fall down, swing in, but he would somehow get to 2 strikes and then just turn it on. And he was a tough for me, right-handers were pretty easy for me to get out. So to have somebody challenge me like that was fun, but I always knew it was going to be a tough one to get him out. But yeah
those, you look
those
up,
two guys.
Right-handers batting average against you, it's absolutely incredible. The statistics pop off the page about how effective you were against right-handers. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. It was, you know, you don't know that until, you know, you go through the minors. And then I know in 2006, I got up to the big leagues and I, you know, you would read some stuff from other, you know, I'd check out the newspaper and see what other team said, and one day they did this article on me and they got quotes from Brandon Inge, who was on the Tigers at the time, and he was like, I just don't even know what to do. I just pick a zone where the ball might be and I kind of try to time it, and for me to know that, it just made me feel really good and to better understand how I pitch. I would love to be up there to face myself and see what it does, because I don't even know, but you kind of get the hint after a while what spots on the plate work for you, what pitches work, and that's something you just got to grow up and learn.
Very cool. Very cool. Are there any young players, young pitchers maybe in baseball right now who, you know, particularly excite you that you think, okay, I really like what this guy's doing?
Pitching wise, you know, these guys are all throwing 100 miles an hour. It's I've never seen anything like that. So that's definitely changed. The mentality of pitching though has changed a lot. A lot of guys are more into like the spin rates right now. You almost want some of the guys to have more of a competitive, like, fire in them, more so than like what they're projecting with their numbers and some of the stuff they do. As far as hitters, I really like that Ke'Bryan Hayes on the Pirates. I really like that guy a lot. And of course, I mean, like Juan Soto, you know, if he could stay healthy, he's gonna be a monster. Acuna's, he's done it forever. For the last couple of years. Baseball's in a good spot if they can get out on the field and play. So, I mean, I think that's, you see it with the card market. I mean, you check eBay, some of the prices, it's, you're seeing stuff that's just, it's a pretty healthy market. It's the healthiest I've seen since the early 90s. So.
And what's your impression of that? Do you think that's going to continue? Is it only up from here? Or do you think, you know, this is just a little bit of a hot streak right now and things will cool down?
I don't. I mean, I thought so like that first month. I want to say it was like late March to like April. I mean, you'd started seeing like the MJ documentary and I was kind of like, oh, this is kind of a fad with some of these, you know, tops on demand prices. I didn't think that was going to hold up. And sure enough, it has. I think we just brought in a lot more collectors to the game. People are excited. I mean, on Instagram, on Twitter, if you mention something, you got a lot of people that are speculating on guys. They got, you know, this is their investments. This is what they like to project and to see what's going to happen. I don't really see it going away. Honestly, I thought at first it was, but it's pretty cool to see. I mean, I've been pretty hard doing this with the baseball cards for like 15, 20 years since I got back in, and it's the most excited I've seen little kids. I've seen older men that, you know, that, and women that buy the hobby boxes. So it's in a great state. I know from the Players Association, I think they said like the payment from Topps was about double this year. So it's really cool to see. I know back in the 80s, they said that guys would get paid more from the union than they would their salaries just because of the baseball card market. So that's cool.
It's awesome. I'm so happy that the industry is roaring like it is right now. And I agree with you, Pat. I think we've got many great years ahead of us. I think this is a awesome trend that is here to stay. And, you know, collecting has been such a big part of American culture and such a big part of baseball culture. And it's great to see how healthy the industry is right now, for sure.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. I mean, and the cool thing too, is there's so many different avenues you can collect. You can do the graded cards. You can do the autograph, the patch cards, a set builder. You can be a player collector, the box breaks. I mean, it's kind of firing on all cylinders, and I love seeing it.
Yeah, it's very, very neat. This season is obviously going to be a season like any other for Major League Baseball, and they just recently announced that the playoffs are going to be expanded to 16 games, which is something we've never seen before. I'm personally pretty excited to see what that looks like. What are your thoughts on this season and the new playoff format, and what are you looking forward to most?
I'm really happy that like the players were able to work it out with the owners. After that, I mean, there's so much talent in the game that just being there the last couple of years and seeing some of the new guys, it's just as a fan, it's going to be fun to watch that. I'm hoping everybody stays healthy. That, you know, I hope that doesn't get shut down. But I'm excited. I'm excited, just like you. It's finally back.
It is finally back. Awesome. I'll get you out of here on this. What's next for you? You've had this amazing pitching career. It spanned a couple of decades. You've been, you know, you this awesome force for many, many years. Now, what's next for Pat?
It's weird. You know, I've been home. I had the hamstring surgery last year, and then the virus. So it was kind of like, you know, I could come back here. I've kept it open. But I've just really enjoyed being with my family. The biggest part is, you know, I've been cleaning out my closets here and listing stuff on eBay, selling stuff, buying stuff. I'm excited I get to finally go to a national probably here if they're going to do it here in December. I don't know. It's for me, it's just, it's something I've never had here in 20 years to be home for a summer. So I'm really enjoying it. My collection's about as good as it's been. It's all in order. I'm finally able to take pictures and do stuff with eBay. It was really cool to do this commercial and have them come in and film a lot of my cards, show off, you know, how I store stuff and just talk about my collecting habits. So I'm really excited.
That's awesome. And Pat, I'm going to send you a free subscription to my Market Movers data platform so you can put your card collection in there. And awesome. See the prices. It will track all the eBay prices for you, so you can see how your card collection changes in value every single morning. Just by logging into the software.
I love like the new developments with this stuff, where you could use it as an investment. That's to me, that's a lot of it. You know, you get these cards. A lot of it is investments. For the most part, I think you got half the base that's doing it like that. So it's really cool to be able to see, you know, especially with the graded cards too, the supply and demand and see all that all works. And I love it.
Awesome. Pat, thank you so much for joining the Virtual Sports Card Con and Sports Card Investor. And good luck on your future. We're all excited to see what's ahead.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Pat, welcome back to Sports Card Investor.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. We got a good one tonight. We got the 2020 Topps Diamond Icons.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's some good stuff. So let's crack this open.
Let's crack it open. And you took your virtual background down. We now actually see what was behind you. The interview was hidden by the virtual background. Yeah, are those some of your playing jerseys?
Those are. Yeah, that's the A's, the Rockies. Got some of the baseballs I got in the back. But yeah, it was hard. I was trying to show my hands, and it was like my hands were disappearing in the background. So
that's pretty sweet, man. Congratulations. Yeah. What a wonderful baseball career you had.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah, let's get to this here. I'm going to start ripping this open here. This is a good box, man. I hope somebody out there is going to win some good stuff tonight. All right, here we go. Let's rip this open. All right. I don't even know. Oh, whoa, Nelly. All right. So you got the felt in the inside. Got the packs. Here we go, guys. Woo. Start right at the top. Our first card of the night. Oh, man. Got the Aaron Judge. Can you guys see that? Aaron Judge Otto. He was a good dude. It's number 3 of 5. I met him at the 2017 All-Star game, and he just seemed like he was happy to be there, and got to watch him do the home run derby. He was hitting balls on top of the roof, I think, in left field. Some mammoth shots. I mean, this guy's a stud. So
he's awesome. Yeah, that's
a good first card.
Yeah.
So we got Aaron Judge, number one. Oh, wow. Somebody's going to be really happy. This is a money card right here. We got the Ohtani 1 of 1.
Oh, whoa.
1 of 1.
Whoa.
Oh, Nelly.
Oh, man, you brought some fire tonight, Pat. We just got an Ohtani 1 of 1. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Look at that patch.
Whoever gets the Angels is about to go absolutely crazy. This is going to be amazing. I cannot wait to see who gets the Angels tonight. Oh, man, one of the viewers of the virtual. This is what we're bringing you with the Virtual Sports Card Con. Look at this, a 1 of 1 of Ohtani. Patch Otto. Look at that patch. That's crazy.
I'm good. This is so Ohtani. I pulled his, it was his 2018 Topps Heritage back in the day. And it was numbered 1 of, I believe it was 68. And, man, I just pulled another 1 of 1.
Wow. Good for you, Pat. Wow. Someone's going to be happy in a few minutes here when we announce who got the Angels.
Woo. All right. This guy, he had a couple homers off me. I know he had one and one in spring training. But we got Miguel Cabrera. It's a red auto, and it's number 2 of 10. Pretty nice card. He's tough. I mean, back in the day, this guy could hit a fastball. I mean, he still can. He had some of the most power I've ever seen from a right-handed hitter. So that's a nice Miggy right there. Okay, this guy's one of the hottest guys. He's a rookie last year, but we got the Yordan Alvarez, number to 10 auto. Somebody's gonna be. I know there's a few collectors that are PCing him and.
I really like Alvarez. He was great when he was called up last year. I know some people are down on the Astros players right now, and I get why. But he was a younger guy. I don't know how much he was caught up in all that stuff. I like Alvarez a lot.
Yeah. So when I was with the Astros, they traded one of my good friends, Josh Fields, and they just threw him in. He was in, I think, rookie ball at the time.
Wow.
And yeah, that was a pretty good trade for the Astros. All right, this is my dad's favorite player, and this is who he always wanted me to grow up to be. Milwaukee Brewers, Robin Yount, patch card auto.
Yeah.
Number 3 of 5. It's a beautiful card. That's a nice patch right there.
All-time great right there.
Love it.
Robin Yount.
Yeah, great card. Great signature. All right, we got our cut auto. Ooh, I like that. 101, announcer, Mel Allen. We got, you know, this week in baseball, Mel Allen, Yankees, you know, Hall of Fame.
So he's going to go to whoever gets the Yankees in our team.
I like this card. I actually got him on a ball right up there, but he's kind of a tough auto. I mean, you don't really see too much of him. But that's a nice cut. I like that.
Yeah, that's cool. Very nice.
101. All right. Guy that might be in the Hall of Fame someday here soon, Andy Pettitte. Auto, red auto, number 25, I believe. 25, yep.
The Yankees are doing well in this break. Whoever gets the Yankees is going to be very, very happy as well.
they're doing good. All right, we got a young guy. I think he was left off the roster this year. Gavin Lux, number 10 auto. A lot of people like him. They're high on him. I've never seen him play, but heard lots of really good things. I mean, seems like the Dodgers pump out guys every year here. All right. Oh, we just lost Mr. K-Line. He's our next one. We got that's a beautiful autograph though. It's in silver and the black. Well, we got the number to 25. I know people love. He was always a great signer. I signed through the mail for $20. I think he did it for the last like 15 years. But he was always really good with the fans. I kind of admired what he did. Ooh, that's really interesting. This is the last card. That is one. I wonder what that is. That a jersey? All right, we got Alex Bregman.
Oh, nice.
And we got, it looks like a Mother's Day. That's a uni. That's a uni, it looks like, on there. It's not signed, but number to 10. Got the pink Alex Bregman. Now, Alex is, he's a pretty awesome guy. I got to witness when he got called up in, what was it, 2016. He came up and he was kind of pretty hyped. And I think he started off like 1 for 30 or something. And he was real down on himself. And one of my buddies, Luke Gregerson, came up to him and said, "Hey, we're going to sit down all night here and we're going to talk." And he goes, He goes, you're really good, but this happened to Dustin Pedroia back in the day. He was like 1-for-40 to start his career. I think the next day after we sat around the clubhouse for like 2 hours, he went, I want to say he went like 3-for-4 or something, and then he kind of just broke out after that. So Alex, he's had a heck of a career since then. So that's
been
pretty
good.
Nice.
He's a great player. Obviously, yeah. You know, a lot of people concerned about the Astros, but we'll see how they do. I personally think guys like Bregman are going to continue to go on and have amazing careers, and maybe as a sports card investor, might be a little bit of an investment potential around some of those Astros players right now, because they want to go out and prove everyone wrong, and their card prices have not taken off the same way that other players have because of some of the scandal around them.
Yeah, you've seen it with like Altuve and Correa. Some of that, they were so hyped, and you know, in 16 and 17 and. Yeah. You're right. It could be pretty good, but yeah, Bregman's great. He was on the WBC team with us as well, and when we won it, and he's got the little alligator arms. He just gets to those fastballs. He's tough. He's a tough hitter. So,
Pat, you did a wonderful job with that break. The audience has to be extremely hyped up right now because of the fact that you pulled that Otani. That is incredible. Yep. And I mean, a lot of these, the Yankees with Judge and Pettit and the Astros with Alvarez and Bregman. Yeah. And oh man, there's some good cards. People are gonna be excited to see who gets those teams in just a minute. Look at that Otani though, man. That dual patch Otani. Woo! That's nice. That is nice.
I didn't expect that. I didn't expect to pull 2 1-on-1s out of that, but I mean, that's what you get with Diamond Icons. You know it's always going to bring fire. So
it does. Hey, Pat, thank you so much for coming back on and doing that break. And we're going to go now to announce the winners. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Pat Neshek and that break. How fun was that? That was absolutely amazing. Thanks for checking that out, guys. And thanks for checking out everything related to the virtual. You may remember that during the virtual, we were offering a very special promo code. Promo code virtual gets you 20% off Market Movers. Your first month or your first year, if you want to check out our Market Movers data platform, it now has the best collection tracking features out there. You can input your collection, any card in your collection, doesn't just have to be a card in our database, but any card in your collection, and it will track it for you. You can get price updates whenever you want on the value of your entire collection. You can track which items you've sold and have separate price reports around your profit and loss. It's awesome. Give it a try. Go to sportscardinvestor.com and click on Market Movers in the main menu bar. And for a limited time, use promo code VIRTUAL for 20% off your first payment, whether it's monthly or annual. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Hope your day is going well, and see you back here in a couple of days with my next episode. Take care.